Tom Lydon told me that I got the right mic, that you can hear me, so that's good. Brother Bob, we got the right mic, it's good. And also I got from Brother Steve the count. We set a goal to get to 125, and I should be able to tell you if we reach that goal. And so I will tell you, we got 132. Amen. So we appreciate that, and your part in that to help us out to do that. And my wife came up to me and she said, "I see the title of your message is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas." And she said, "You should have changed the title to Have Yourself a M-A-R-Y Little Christmas." And, you know, she's right, because that's what I preach every year around this time. As we, after we have our Thanksgiving dinner, we enter into the Christmas season, don't we? And this is our church Thanksgiving, and we don't have school tomorrow, Veterans Weekend, and it's our entering into the Christmas season after church Thanksgiving. That's when I think about it. Although we do have our regular Thanksgiving, this is our church Thanksgiving, and I want to preach on my annual message. Usually my message is in Luke chapter 10. If you'd go there, Luke chapter 10, but it's called Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Some of my kids went to Hiles Anderson College in the old days when Dr. Hiles was there, and they would, at the just before they would dismiss for the Christmas holidays, they would say something like this: "Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide bright. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight." And then they would say, you know, take that thing and hang it from the highest bough. Take that bright star and hang it from the highest bough. And then they would say, "Have yourself a merry little Christmas now." And when they said now, that meant all the college students were off, and they would get up and get all excited because they were off of school. But you know, Christmas time and the Christmas season is a time where we think about joy and peace and good news, but it isn't a trouble-free life. It isn't a time when there's no war and pain, and we see that in our world around us. And I'm no, you know, stranger to trouble. I live a life, I guess my life is defined by time pressure. I'm always under time pressure. Constantly, I live my life under time pressure. You say you don't punch a time clock. I know, but I do try to redeem the time, and I find myself, because of that, under a lot of time pressure. And I was ready to leave the house on Saturday to come down here for prayer meeting and for the meetings that I have Saturday, and then going out visiting. And you know what? I had a nagging doubt about something in my heart. Watch out when you have a doubt about something, right? A doubt where your faith is undermined. And not only did I have a doubt in my heart, but I tried to print out my message to the men on the computer that I got, and that computer is demon-possessed, because every time I try to print it out, it will not print. When I don't want to print it out, it prints. And so it's my servant. I wanted it to print, and it wouldn't print. And I went out of the house, and I tell you, I was in a huff and puff. And I text my secretary, and she came up with some ideas that will help me. But what causes you not to have a merry little Christmas? I believe it's when your Christmas problems and your distractions are great, and they're large, and Christ is very little to you, and your problems and pressures are a lot. And what causes you to not have a merry little Christmas is when your Christmas parties and your fun and all the things you want to do at Christmas take first place in your heart. But walking with Christ and the Christ of Christmas is put into a lesser place in your heart. It is when giving gifts to friends and family take first place over your being able to give your time and your finances to help the Lord to do His work. What causes you not to have a Merry Little Christmas or an M-A-R-Y, a Merry Little Christmas? It's when your social pressures take priority over your spiritual sensitivity. It's when you let doubts and fears come into your heart and replace faith in the Lord. Then you don't have a Merry Little Christmas, M-A-R-Y. And today we're beginning after Thanksgiving dinner to enter into the Christmas season, and I usually preach this message to you, and so this morning I want to preach to you on how you can have yourself a merry, M-A-R-Y, little Christmas. And I want to say three things about it. First of all, I want to say by receiving the Christ of Christmas as your personal Savior. Look at verse 38. It says there, chapter 10 of Luke, and she had a sister. I'm sorry, verse 38. Now it came to pass. By the way, do you know everything comes to pass? You can't hold this moment in your hands. It's like sand. It just comes to pass. Time is constantly on the move. It comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. But you can redeem the time. You can grab it and use it for something that's going to last. But it says, now it came to pass as they went that he, speaking of Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now Martha was probably the head of the house, the owner of the house. It was Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. She was no doubt the oldest sister, and it was her house. And it was in a village called Bethany. You say, where was Bethany? I remember going to Israel, and I went down to Jerusalem. And if you walk across the Kidron Valley and the Brook Kidron, and you go up a hill called the Mount of Olives, it's just a high hill, the Mount of Olives, and you walk up that hill. I saw olive trees 1,000 years old there where the Garden of Gethsemane used to be. And I went up the Mount of Olives, and if you go up to the top of the mount and go over the mount a little bit and walk due east, you're going to run into where the village of Bethany was, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And that's where Martha had this house. Mary, her sister, lived there. Lazarus, her brother, no doubt lived there. And the Bible says that Martha received Jesus into her house. In other words, she made room for Christ in her home because at some point in Martha's life, she had received him as her personal Savior. I believe Mary had done that and Lazarus had done that. Let me ask you a question today. Everything comes to pass. Brother Eric was telling me November, what's the date? 11th. November 11th, that's Veterans Day. 2007, Greg Slobodnik, the brother of the man that we celebrate as our hero and veteran, his brother led him to faith in Jesus Christ. That was November 11, 2007. You do the math. That day came and it passed. It was a big day, a carnival Sunday. That day came and it passed, my friends, but listen to me. His salvation will last. Amen. Did you hear me? He received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He grew up in a Christian family. He thought he was a Christian, but he didn't have a time and a place when he realized, I'm a sinner before God. I'm condemned by God to die and go to the lake of fire to pay for my sin. And he never had come to that personal realization. For him, Christmas was historical, and these things were historical, but they weren't personal. Let me tell you, it's not just believing in Christ in your head. You have to take it 12 inches down to your heart. You have to put your trust in him to save you from hell. The one that died on that cross as God in the flesh, that was buried, that rose again. And that one is inviting you today. If you don't have a time and a place, when you have received Christ, he says in Revelation, these are the words of our Lord. He says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Say, what door is that, Pastor? It's the door of your heart. Do you know the doorknob is not on the outside? He doesn't say, "I stand at the door and I just burst through the door." No, he'll knock. He's a gentleman. I say it again, he'll knock. He's a gentleman. You have to open the door. And he says, "I stand at the door and knock." And he says, "If any man hear my voice." See, you can hear my voice. Amen. Tom, can you hear my voice? Loud and clear? Good. All right, he can hear my voice, Tom Lydon. But you know what? Can you hear the voice of Jesus?
It's good preaching.
His voice calling to you. He said, "I know my sheep by their name and I call them." He's calling you to give up your own righteousness, to give up your own self-righteousness, and to realize you're a dirty sinner deserving hell. And give it up and receive his gift of righteousness, his gift of forgiveness. And he says, "I stand, if you hear his voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." You know, in the Middle East, I went to a place called Abraham's Tent. And it was where I got a camel license. My wife and I rode a camel, and we lived where Abraham lived. We went into a tent with a guy dressed like Abraham, and Sarah was there, and he had a delicious meal with different courses, and we laid there like the Orientals do, you know, and you eat like this as you're laying there. And I said, "Look, I'm an American. Give me a chair." And they gave me a chair, and I had to sit on it. But the Orientals, they sit there, and they'll have a meal for 2-3 hours that way. And they enjoy intimate companionship and communication. Have you ever gone out to eat with somebody, and you get to know them, and you can talk to them, and it's a nice way to do that? Well, that's what Jesus is saying. He said, "If you open the door and you receive me into your heart, you will know me as your personal Savior. I'll forgive your sin. I'll come into your life." And at first I trusted him to just save me from hell, but I found out he came into my life. And I was knocking at somebody's door the other day, and there were two people there talking, and I knew one of them, the other I didn't know. And I was talking to these two people, and suddenly I asked the one about going to heaven, and the person didn't know how to go to heaven, and I explained the good news that Jesus Christ is offering himself to be your personal Savior. And I said, it's like a wedding ring and an engagement ring. And somebody gets down on their knee and asks you to marry them. And it was a lady, and she said, "Oh, I need somebody to do that, you know." And so I said, "Well, Jesus is offering you a home in heaven. He's giving you, you need a date and a ring." And Jesus offers that, a date when you can accept it. And you know what? When I got all done, they thanked me, but they said, no, we don't want that. We don't want that. We don't want that. And they didn't have room for him in their heart. Do you know what? This Christmas time, you're busy with family, you're busy with friends, you're busy with things that are coming to pass. But someday it's all going to be gone. You'll have an empty nest. Someday it'll all be gone. It'll all be over. And where are you going to go when you die? You're going to die alone, my friend. You're going to die alone. And if you accept the gift of Jesus Christ today, the Bible said, today is the day of salvation. Your sins will be wiped away. He said, "Come, let us reason. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Because his blood will wash away your sin if you trust his blood. And he's inviting you to do that on this day. What is it? November 12th, 2023. This could be your day. if you say yes to the Lord Jesus and open the door. These ladies didn't have time. Remember when he came on that first Christmas? They said, "Behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord." And you remember that there was no room for them. They had to go outside into a stable for Jesus. And I believe there are many people, there's no room for Jesus in their heart. They have their own religion. They have their own God. A lot of people tell me, "I have my own religion." Let me tell you, there's only one true religion, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of true religion, the Bible says. You got a false religion. And so today, he's inviting you to receive him like Martha did. Have yourself a merry little Christmas by receiving the Christ of Christmas as your personal Savior. But secondly, and number two, by receiving what you need from him so you can give it out to others. Look at verse 39 of Luke 10. I'll read it. It says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." So now here we have another member of the family, Mary. Martha had received the Lord, so had Mary. But Mary was known for something. And here's what she was known for. She was known for sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear what he had for her. You know, I like what our first pastor used to say about the Lord. He would say, "Jesus Christ and I are having a two-way conversation. We don't have room for a third party to get in between us." Have you ever heard of a love triangle? That doesn't work in marriage. I said, "Have you ever heard of a love triangle? There's not room for two husbands or two wives." And in your relationship to Jesus, he will brook no rivals. And so this morning, if you want to have a merry, M-A-R-Y, little Christmas season, you need to realize that you need to be like Mary here. And every day, make sure there's nothing between you and Jesus. Make sure every day that you're sitting at Jesus' feet to hear and to do what he tells you, because he's got things to share with you. I know when I sit down with my wife, she's got things to share with me. I know when she sits down with me, she knows I have things to share with her. You say, "What do you share with her?" Well, I got done with bus ministry yesterday and all of my meetings, and I was late at night. It was getting pretty late at night by the time I got done with everything, and I had to share with her the fourth quarter of the Michigan game. And she came in and she said, "I'm going to sit with you through the fourth quarter of the game," and she cheered with me. "Hail to the victors." Yeah. And I know some of you don't like that, but that's all right. Your team played good. It played good. But I want to just say to you, my wife knows all of my little secrets and my idiosyncrasies, and I know hers, and we know each other, and there's no room for anybody else to get into that exclusive club. And there's no room for anybody to get into that exclusive club with you and the Lord Jesus Christ this Christmas season. If you want to have a merry little Christmas, and I just said, Saturday I had a doubt in my heart it was getting in between me and the Lord. I didn't even realize it. A little doubt got in there. Devil got a doubt in there. And then I had a pressure come in there with the computer, and boy, it wasn't long before I was going out to serve Jesus. But guess what? Jesus and I had distance between us. It was me doing something for him, not me doing something with him. Some of you, that's where you've been or you're in danger of being. And I remember Pastor Ware rebuked me one time as a young Christian for breaking my relationships when dealing or trying to solve a problem. And I always tell this joke. When I was a young man, I wanted to fix a door. And so I lifted up the door, which was upstairs near our bedroom, and I threw it over the bed. And I took my saw out, my circular saw, to cut the door, marked it to cut it. And that's a whole other story, Brother Joe, which you know about, but we won't go into that. But I went to cut it, and I cut the bedspread. And, you know, that kind of reminded me, I'm solving one problem, which I really didn't solve, and I'm causing another problem. And you know what? That is what we can do in our relationships with the Lord. You're trying to do something, but you're breaking your relationship with Jesus in doing it. And guess what? You're doing nothing. He said, without me, you can do nothing. You need to have yourself an M-A-R-Y, a Merry Little Christmas, and have a big Jesus and a little problem. And I wasn't doing that. And I break those relationships. And so Mary, M-A-R-Y, she had a great big Lord Jesus with little worries and little problems. And look at verse 38 again. I mean, look at verse 39 again. It says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard and heeded his word. You know, Mary didn't do what the church at Ephesus did. The Lord commended the church at Ephesus, and he said, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Revelation 2:4. You know what? Maybe you're a good church member. Maybe you're in the services. Maybe you are even a worker and you do things for the Lord and the church. But really, there are things between you and the Lord. And you're really not doing these things with him like Mary was doing. And you know what? If I leave the house in a huff like I did the other day, and I don't keep my relationship with my wife and say, honey, I love you, I'm having the day, thank you. You know what? That can ruin her day. It can affect her whole day. Because she builds a lot of her life on relationship with her husband. And you know what? If you are living your life without a close relationship, you can grieve the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You can grieve the spirit of your marriage to Jesus Christ. And when you do that, it takes your joy away. It takes your peace away. It takes away the Lord using you and working through you. And the Bible speaks of that. Your prayers can be hindered when you're in that situation. And so what I'm saying is, some of you, you may have left your first love. You may have left your close relationship with the Lord Jesus because of some pleasure or some problem in your life. And so you say, well, what is the Lord's counsel? Well, first of all, in Revelation 2, verse 5, he says this, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Can you remember a time when you were closer and more in love with the Lord than you are now? Can you remember in your life a time as a born-again Christian when you were closer and more in love with the Lord than you are now? Can you remember a time when you got more from the Word of God than you do now? If you can remember that, you're doing what Jesus said you need to do. You need to think about that and realize you've gotten off the track. Are you going to keep going like that? I don't think you should. That's not what the Lord wants you to do. He counsels you. In fact, he said if you keep going that way, you're going to lose something big. And he goes on and he says, not only that, you need to repent and change your direction. And what should you do? Repent and go back to the Lord like Mary did. Be in close contact where you're sitting at his feet. And you're able to get what he has for you. And the relationship is not broken between you and the Lord because of a problem, because of something that you think is better than Jesus, the Christ of Christmas. I believe there are people today, they're not in church, they're not here to hear the word of God because they think they have something better. Maybe it's a party, maybe it's some family event. But let me tell you something, there's nothing better than Jesus. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, whether it's 132 or 22 or 2, it is better. Better to have Jesus here with you. And so, what did the Lord say? He said, I give you counsel. He said, you need to return to your first love, Jesus. And then he said, do the first works. You say, what are the first works? Very simple. The first works are faith that works by love. The Bible says, as you receive the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in him. What were the first works? And I want everybody to listen. No passing things. You need to listen to me. What are the first works? The first works are to sit at the feet of Jesus and by faith receive the gifts that he has for you. Do you know everything he asks you to do, he gives it to you? This sermon I'm preaching to you today, you say, where did you get it from? Your 52 years of knowledge and study? Well, it helps, yes, but I still had to get from Jesus what he wanted me to preach today. So I have to go to him. What do you want? Not what do I want. What do you want? Not what do I feel like. What do you want? And he impresses that on my spirit. Do you do that? That's faith that works by love. You reach up your empty hands and you receive the grace through faith to give it out. And then that's what you do with it. Once you receive it, you give it out in love to others. Faith that works by love. And that's Jesus. And that's how you do the first works. You know, the Bible talks about the Sea of Galilee. How many have heard of the Sea of Galilee? Yeah. And how many have heard of the Dead Sea? Okay, there are two seas. I went over and swam in the Sea of Galilee. Guess what? I ate fish out of the Sea of Galilee. Why is the Sea of Galilee full of fish and full of life? Because I walked up north of it and there are all these streams that flow into it. But not only that, if you walk south of it, guess what? The water of the Jordan River flows south out of the Sea of Galilee, Jesse. And it goes down south, Jesse, into the Dead Sea. But when you get to the Dead Sea, I swam in the Dead Sea, and there are no fish in there. I swam in the Dead Sea, and you float because it's all salty, and you put your tennis shoes and take them off and put them on the ground of the Dead Sea, and they pop up, you know, and it's dead. But it's kind of neat. But it's a dead sea. But I want to say to you, some people are like that. They are dead. Why? Because they take in the Word of God. They take in preaching, but they're not giving it out by helping out on bus ministry or by going out on soul winning or by doing something to help others. Are you taking in and then giving out? If you're not, you're like the Dead Sea, and you're not going to have a merry little Christmas. Because Mary, when she sat at Jesus' feet, we know at a later time, she gave away some perfume that was worth about $40,000. And she gave out because she was in love with Jesus. Have yourself a merry little Christmas by receiving Christ as your Savior this Christmas, by receiving what you need from Christ so that you can give it out to others, and lastly, by receiving what Christ counseled Mary to correct. Notice in verse 40 of Luke 10, it says, and I'll read the first phrase, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. You see, Martha was cumbered, that means distracted, by all the things that she felt she had to do for Jesus Christ. She wasn't doing them with Christ. She wasn't having faith in Christ to get what she needed to help him. She was rather cumbered or distracted by all the things that she was going to do. In other words, there are a lot of people that are too busy to have a close relationship with Jesus Christ. They're too busy. You know, there was a great evangelist called D.L. Moody, and he says, if you're too busy for the Lord, then you are too busy. I ran into somebody the other day, and they were busy with family, busy doing things, busy having this and that, and they were trying to show me what they were doing. And I thought, you know, I remember a time when you used to sit at the feet of Jesus. I remember a time when you used to come to the altar and worship the Lord. I remember that time. Where is that? And I think of the Lord. He remembers it in your life. He said, where are you in the morning when you used to meet with me? Where are you throughout the day when you met with me? Where are you when we have church? Where are you when you have this opportunity to serve me and you're not there? You're too busy. You're too busy. No, your priorities are out of whack, beloved. And I'm saying today that that's where Martha was. Her priorities were out of whack. And Christ counseled her so that she could correct that. She was too busy cooking a meal for Jesus to put Jesus as first place in her heart and in her life. Some of you are too busy with what you enjoy doing to repent and confess your sin of not putting Christ first and not delighting in him and his plan for your days and your hours. Some of you may be too busy this morning to get right with the Holy Spirit, go to the altar, and then maybe go to that brother or sister that you've offended and hurt with your anger or your gossip or your rudeness. And you're too busy to ask forgiveness and get that relationship back. You see, there are some of us that we need to repent and get back that relationship that we've had. You say, well, Pastor, how can I know that I am cumbered like Martha? You're saying she was cumbered, distracted. Well, look at verse 40 and notice the first thing that it says there in verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? First of all, you feel like the Lord doesn't care for you. You know, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he what? Careth for you. You're too busy with your own problems. You feel like the Lord doesn't care about your problems. But you're wrong. He does care. And he says, I'll share. But you got to take your burdens to me and leave them with me. Yeah. And then the second thing is, not only do you feel like the Lord doesn't care, but you feel like you're serving the Lord alone. She's left me to serve the Lord alone. Listen, if you feel like you're the only one and nobody else is serving the Lord, then you're like Elijah. Remember what Elijah said? I only am left. And what did God say to him? I've got 7,000. Right. They've not bowed the knee to Baal. There are other people in this church that are serving the Lord beside you. Yeah, you see what you're doing. But maybe it's you doing it and not the Lord. Because when you're doing it with the Lord, guess what? You're not feeling so put upon. You're not feeling alone. And then, not only do you feel like the Lord doesn't care, not only do you feel like you're alone, but you get bossy. She bossed the Lord, said, Lord, tell her to get up here. Bidder, she helped me. And you get bossy, and you think you should run everything because it's not being run right. Let me tell you something. Jesus is running everything, and he knows what he's doing.
Right.
He doesn't need to consult you, or he doesn't need to consult me. And some of you, you've been there because it's because you have a Martha problem. And you are cumbered by your much serving and you're lacking that relationship. And I hate to tell you this, but your rewards are going to burn up for that. Did you hear me?
Right.
That ought to get your attention. All that you do in the dedicated energy of your flesh, when you feel bossy, when you feel alone, when you are not doing it with Christ and feeling like He cares, you will not get rewarded for that, because He's not going to reward you for the dedicated energy of your flesh.
Right.
He's only going to reward you from the fruit that comes from Him. And so, today, that's Christ's counsel to you. And Christ's counsel for Martha is also for you this Christmas season in verse 42. And I'll give you that in conclusion. Look at verse 42. It says, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." The Lord told Martha, and He tells you, that you've made the wrong decision. Somebody that might not know as much about the Lord as you may be making the right decision, and you've known the Lord longer and more, but you've gotten away from the Lord, and that person is now doing more than you. You know why? Because they're doing it with the Lord. They're depending on the Lord. And maybe you'll get jealous of that person because you see them getting joy and blessing. And so the Lord tells you, look at that person that has not left her first love. Look at that person that is doing it with me. Look at that person that's sitting at my feet, and learn from Mary. Have yourself a merry, M-A-R-Y, little Christmas. And think about what Pastor Ware did for me in college. I looked at Pastor Ware. He was my best friend. And I said, wow, that guy, he is getting stuff from his Bible every day. Wow, that guy is getting stuff from the Lord, and he's sharing it with others. Wow, I'm getting stuff from my professors. I'm getting stuff from textbooks. But he is walking with Jesus every day. And I got jealous of that, and I wanted that. Hey, maybe you should find people like that and learn from them. Jesus said, look at Mary, Martha. She's made the right decision. And God used that. Now, I believe Martha listened to that counsel and got right with the Lord, because later we see her making a dinner. And she still ran the house like she always did as a choleric lady. Good lady. But she learned, and she's making dinner for everybody, and she's not complaining. She's enjoying the Lord as she is going through the season of feasting and making dinner like we're doing now. Amen. I like Mrs. Angela Bajeski. She does a great job with hospitality. But I'll tell you what about Angela Bajeski. She's a Martha type person. She can do a lot, but she does it in fellowship with the Lord and with a good spirit. And if I ask her for something, she's right, Pastor, I'll get that done. We'll do it. You know, God wants you to learn from people certain things. And this thing is, you need to choose the best part. Don't miss out on the best part. Be there with Peter, James, and John so Jesus can say to you, come on and pray with me, and be there. And don't go to sleep like they did. And may the Lord use this counsel today to get you back to your first priority of close communion with Christ. May you continue it throughout this Christmas season, beloved. And don't let anything or anyone, listen to me, get into first place in your heart. That person or that thing will become your idol. It will distract you. And ultimately, your idol will disappoint you. So let me conclude by saying, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Have you received Christ as your personal Savior? If you haven't, He's inviting you today to put your faith in Him, to take your sins and give Him your guilt. He'll take it. and he'll give you his perfect obedience, and you'll go to heaven through him. If you haven't done that, you need to do that right now. As I speak, trust Christ. But number two, have yourself a merry little Christmas by receiving every day through this season what you need from the Lord so you can give it out in service to others. And then lastly, you need to receive what Christ counseled Martha to correct your problem and choose the A number one priority, which is to have Christ as the big thing, the great thing, the number one thing, and all the pleasures and problems under Christ. Yeah, I watched the football game yesterday, but it came last. And even as I was watching the game, it was taped and I took long breaks from it to do other things. Because you see, I want Christ to be number one in my life. Do you? Is he? Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Now! Let's bow for prayer. Every head